So it's an interesting gospel lesson this morning, the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, in this context, Mark is presenting stories of the woman with a hemorrhage and Jairus' daughter. And there are two of four miracles in this section. And the first was Jesus' calming of the storm in chapter 4 and demonstrating Jesus' power over nature. And the second was Jesus' healing of the Gerasene demoniac and then demonstrating his power over demons. And the third and fourth miracles now demonstrate Jesus' power over sickness and death, his power to bring salvation even to hopeless situations. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination? By the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us, O God. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading starts on page 1559 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Once Jesus realized that power had come out of him, he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowded against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus and the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then, when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
Thanks be to God indeed. In today's gospel lesson, we hear some perhaps familiar biblical stories, a story set inside a story. Jesus heals a woman with a hemorrhage, and Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, a story about the touch of faith and the power that it has. Now, we've heard these stories many times, and when you've heard a story many times, well, it kind of loses a little bit of its surprise, right? I mean, good stories have surprises. I think of it as a suspense. We read with excitement to the end because it keeps us in suspense, and we want to see how the story ends. In these gospel stories, we hear this morning, well, they might not keep us in suspense anymore. We know, because we've heard them before, we've listened to them before, we know how they're going to turn out. Jesus heals the woman. Jesus heals the little girl. That's nice. Okay. What's next? But perhaps we need to look at these stories from a fresh set of eyes. Perhaps if we did that, we could see new surprises. Perhaps we could be amazed again, because indeed there are surprises in these stories. First of all, I'm surprised that the synagogue ruler came to Jesus for help. I mean, he was a ruler of the synagogue, a man of religious devotion, a man of religious reputation, a man of religious authority. Jesus had most of his problems with people like this. Jesus called many of these such men hypocrites. And it was like his men like this who ended up killing Jesus. But then Jairus had a daughter. And he came to Jesus, this uncredentialed rabbi, this preacher, for help. She was sick and dying. So it's not really surprising that Jairus would come to Jesus for help. But what parent wouldn't? What parent perhaps wouldn't walk a long distance for help for their child or their grandchild? What family member that was dying would they not do for their child or their grandchild if they knew that they were starving or they needed a meal or they were living in the midst of not knowing where the next meal or where their parents were or where that was going to come from? So last Wednesday, while in Haiti and finishing our last day of work, our mission team had the privilege of participating in a food distribution event for the community that we were serving. And unbeknownst to us, the crowd that had come for the food, that had heard about the food, had been gathering all day. They came early in the morning from great distances. They'd waited all day, having heard that there would be food for distribution, not even knowing what kind of food. But we had rice and beans and oil that we had the children of the orphanage partition out into bags to be able to give out. And through the gratitude of one of the churches of our team members, we were able to purchase this food for this distribution. It was well over 1,000 pounds. Of rice and beans and oil. And as our time for distributing the food came, the crowd continued to grow. We had learned afterwards that most of the people had come from a great distance, but what was surprising was this, friends. As we gave away the food in the plastic bags, one of the food bags broke. It had a hole in it. And the elderly woman that had received this bag of beans and rice and oil, enough to ration for a couple of days for her family, realized that there was a hole in this bag for her beans. And she stopped. And in the rocky surface of the churchyard, she bent down and bean by bean found every bean that had fallen out. Through the rock and the gravel, no one bean was too precious to leave behind. And she had traveled to this church for help for her family. And the other interesting part of this story is that many of the other folks that had received the food, well, they stopped. And they helped her to reclaim this. Helped her to seek out in the gravel the other lost beans. And I think about this, and I thought about this yesterday, and I thought about it Friday. The leftovers that were on my plate. Or the next time that I do go out to dinner, and I perhaps take too much from the buffet, of what that is in relationship to every bean and how important every grain of rice really is. So it's not surprising that this synagogue leader came and set aside his pride to ask this renegade preacher, this rabbi, to help his daughter. I am surprised that the woman, the story inside the story, came to Jesus for help. She had a hemorrhage, and women who were bleeding were considered unclean. They weren't allowed to be in polite company. They weren't allowed to touch other people until they had gone through this cleansing ceremony. They couldn't go through the ceremony until they had quit bleeding. This woman had not been cleansed for 12 years. I mean, can you imagine 12 years? She hadn't been able to touch other people for 12 years. She was an outcast. Imagine how lonely she must have felt. And I'm surprised that she had the strength to push her way through the crowd to even get near Jesus, and that she could bring herself to reach out and to touch him. And Jesus had started on the journey to heal the synagogue leader's daughter when he felt the power go out of him. "And who touched my clothes?" he said. The disciples were surprised. "Just look at this crowd, Jesus. How can we possibly know who touched your clothes?" But Jesus knew something had happened, and he stopped to talk to the woman, and he said, "Your faith has made you well." I couldn't help but wonder what was going on while Jesus talked to this woman. But you think about it, it's a story within a story. The synagogue leader's daughter was dying. And I'm surprised that Jesus allowed himself to be distracted, who was already healed. This woman who was already healed and didn't need his help anymore, when he could have gone and saved this little girl. And I wondered about this in relation to the desperation, the woman collecting every bean and the people that were helping her. And I wondered about the desperation of Jairus in relation to his daughter. Where was Christ's priorities? But Jesus said, "The child is not dead, but is asleep." Mark says that the gospel, the people were amazed. We've read this story so many times that we perhaps are not amazed. The neighbors were right. The little girl was dead. But dead means forever, absolutely final. So the neighbors were wrong because, friends, as we know, as we live into Christ, death isn't forever. It's a mere interruption in our life. Death is not the end. And I like these stories, the stories of the woman with the hemorrhage, the story of the synagogue leader and his daughter. I like them because they help me. They tell me about Jesus' power and Jesus' love. And I love the participation in the food distribution for the community because it reminds me of hope. It gives me hope. Think about that with this woman who had the hemorrhage. It's 2018, 12 years ago, 2006. What were you doing in 2006? What was happening 12 years ago? How old were you? What were you doing? How old were your children, your grandchildren? And now imagine having been sick since 2006. How would that have changed your life? Imagine having to bend down and count every bean that had been spilled and the influence that that would have. That level of desperation, that level of need for every grain of food. This woman had been sick for 12 years. She had tried everything and nothing worked. She consulted doctors and they failed. She spent money and it failed. She had tried prayer and it failed. And then she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and suddenly her long ordeal was over. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Can you imagine that kind of relief? The kind of relief that comes with receiving a couple of days of food, and what that does for you mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually. Have you ever prayed and not received an answer? Have you ever wondered if God was hearing your prayer? Have you ever wondered if He cared? Has your faith ever been shaken because you prayed and nothing happened? Have you ever thought about having to account for every spilled bean because it was the difference between life and death? The difference between this meal and the next? When that happens, remember the story of this woman with the hemorrhage. And remember how desperately she prayed and how slowly the answer came. I was reminded of this on this past mission trip that I am very impatient. I flip a light switch and I expect instant light. I turn on the TV and I expect instant entertainment. I pray and I expect instant answers. I. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't always answer our prayers today. God doesn't answer our prayers this week or this year. God doesn't always answer our prayers as we ask them. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't care. It doesn't mean that God won't take care of us. I like the story of the woman with the hemorrhage because in the long, dark night of my soul, it gives me hope. I like the story of the synagogue's daughter, leader's daughter, because it promises us that it's not over until it's over, and then it promises us with Jesus, it is not over at all. This little girl was dead, and it must have been the end of the world for him. But Jesus came into the death room and put the pieces of Jairus' world back together. The society in which we live suggests countless ways that the way to go is up. Making it to the top, entering into the limelight, breaking the record, that's what draws attention. Get us on the front page in the newspaper and offers us rewards of money and perhaps fame. But I would suggest this, friends. And I'd like to leave you with this visual. We are like trees planted upside down. Our roots are above, and our leaves are down on earth. Sometimes we lose our leaves, but spring is coming. through Jesus Christ, we get new leaves every day and beautiful flowers every day. The way to Jesus is radically different, and it is the way not of upward mobility, but of downward mobility. It's going to the bottom and staying behind the sets and choosing the last place. It is getting down in the gravel with them and helping them to find every last bean. And why is that worth choosing? Because it is the way to the kingdom and the way Jesus took and the way that brings everlasting life. I like these stories because it gives me hope. It's my prayer that they give you hope as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.